Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Loose Units, Loose Ends, our weekly spin-off podcast. I'm Paul, that's John. And Dad, what have you been up to this week?
I cooked one of my signature dishes last night.
Oh, God, what was it?
No, Paul.
Yeah.
I have decided...
Uh-huh.
Look, you and Tegan do a food podcast.
We do, Dish Island, every week, yeah.
Well, guess what?
What?
I spent almost 3 hours doing my... I'd say this is the signature dish that I did.
Okay.
And your mother
mm-hmm.
was beside herself. With excitement. Now, I've been thinking about it, and I actually would like to go in a cooking competition, but the proviso being that everyone that's in it,
yeah,
they have to cook the one dish, because this is the dish that I truly excel in. It was so good that when I sat down to eat it last night,
mm-hmm.
it was a borderline religious experience.
Okay.
Would you like to know what it is?
Yeah, very much so, yes.
Fried rice.
It took you 3 hours to make fried rice.
Paul.
3 hours to make fried rice?
Paul, it's the preparation. It's, if I can replicate what I did yesterday,
yeah,
it's so good that I think I'd win a competition.
Okay. So hang on. Can you talk me through why fried rice took you 3 hours?
Well, I'm very fastidious.
Yeah, I'll say.
And I love order. Paul, I would like to cook this for you and Tegan.
Just make sure we're there for a long time, otherwise we might not make it to the meal. Cooking time. Fried rice cooking time. I'm looking it up now.
Oh, look, Paul, I don't care what the books say. It's not... One of the things about this is, look, it's just magnificent. Can I tell you one of the things that I did?
Tell me why it takes 3 hours to make fried rice. Yeah.
I did a 4-egg omelette, but when I cracked the eggs into a bowl, you know that tiny little white thing sometimes that's attached to the...
Yeah.
Well, I had to remove every single white one, and I used various things that weren't working that well. So firstly, I used tongs.
Uh-huh.
But they kept slipping out of the end of the tong. I eventually went into... Christine doesn't know this. I went into the bathroom and got her... God. I got her tweezers. I cleaned them, of course. And then I used the tweezers to extricate every little white nodule. It just freaks me out.
Okay, next time we're all together, you can make us this fried rice.
I will.
We'll go catch a movie or something, and you can assemble this fried rice. I'm genuinely curious as to... What takes 3 hours? Is it possible that
it's
you
the
just
entire
take,
process, Paul?
But is it possible that you take just a long time to do things, and that it's not that it is 3 hours worth of labor? It's that you've taken a thing that is generally regarded as one of the quickest, easiest things to make, and just exploded it out into some sort of Zen meditative exercise.
Spot on, Paul.
Okay.
I've done that, and I do that. I do a fair bit of cooking.
Yeah.
And as the listeners will know, I have a number of signature dishes.
Yeah. Yeah, we all know.
I mean, one of my signature dishes is lobster thermidor, but as Christine, and rather in an almost mean way, she reminds me that I haven't made it since the 1980s.
Yep, so it's not your signature. Okay. Dad, I have an article that was sent to me by a listener which I think will tickle the shit out of you. Can I read it to you?
Go ahead.
A man who posted himself home from Australia in a small wooden crate is searching for the two men who helped him and who nailed the box shut. Whilst being homesick is a common result of moving so far away from home, the then 19-year-old Brian Robson took it to extremes. In 1965, the Victorian Railways worker hatched a plan for his imminent return to Wales. He convinced two Irishmen to stow him aboard a freight plane after realising that an actual ticket would cost £700, which was 17 times his monthly salary. Now, 60 years later, Brian told the Irish Times that he wants to reconnect with the men who helped him hatch his plan, who he knew as Paul and John. He said, now, I mean, that's weird. Was that us? Did we do this?
That's bizarre.
Yeah. He said, I'm 99% sure that they were called Paul and John. Paul was 100% against it. Sounds right. But John said, don't worry about it. I'll persuade him. Which, again, sounds completely in character. Mm. And so they both went ahead and helped. He regaled the newspaper with an account of his quite horrific experience, which took 5 days and derailed off course when he ended up in Los Angeles stored away in a freight shed. For 3 days prior to the journey, he'd taken laxatives to make sure he wasn't caught short. Nailed inside a small wooden crate, which his friends had labeled as a computer, Brian brought only a mini fridge-sized box with a pillow, a book of Beatles songs, and a suitcase. Paul and John booked him onto a Qantas flight from Melbourne to London without a hitch, that is, until the crate that held Brian was transferred to a Pan Am flight because the original plane was full. Instead of London, Brian was headed for LA and found himself stored in a freight shed where after 5 days he was too weak to hammer himself out. In a lucky piece of fortune, if you can call 5 days in a crate lucky, a man looked through a hole in a wood knot in the chest and we caught each other eye to eye, Brian told the BBC. He jumped back a mile and said there's a body in there. Brian spent 5 days recovering in hospital and was questioned by the FBI. Not too long after he was released and allowed to fly a passenger jet back to the UK without any legal action taken against him by the then acting Minister for Immigration, Leslie Berry. I'm looking at a photo of this young guy leaving the airport with security in tow, with immigration in tow. It's pretty adorable. When he arrived back in the UK, Brian wrote to the two men who had aided his outlandish plan, but they never responded. The now 76-year-old doesn't remember where they were from or what their surnames were, but is still desperate to thank them. Mm-hmm. He documented his journey in a book, The Crate Escape, which was published in 2021. Okay, so ostensibly this story is a tie-in for a book press tour, but it's a fascinating story. Dad, if you were trapped in a crate for 5 days, what would you take with you? You can only take, you know, one or two things. I don't think you can take anything electric, but what would you take with you to keep yourself occupied for 5 days?
I'd probably have maybe an iPhone with a lot of music, and you'd have to have some really, really beefed up, batteries.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be judicious with my listening, because you may think you know when you're going to get out. But this is a classic case. And another thing too, which needs to be remembered or taken into consideration, and I correct me if I'm wrong, anyone that actually knows this, but I believe that it's incredible that the box was in a pressurized part of the plane because there is no oxygen at that altitude. There's zero oxygen. Right. So it must have been in a part of the plane where perhaps they have pets, and obviously in that case, they need oxygen. So that's taken care of. But the other thing to consider is it'd be pretty cold, I imagine.
Yeah.
And just how much room did he have around him in terms of claustrophobia? 5 days. 5 days is a long time. Let's talk about people that have done quarantine in the last 2 years. That's pretty... I mean, I did quarantine for one night, and just knowing psychologically that someone is saying to you, you must not leave this room, but to know that you're inside a box, which is like effectively a coffin, and you would hope also that when the people are transporting the box, you know, the people that get things on and off planes,
they're gentle with it.
Yeah, they're gentle. And it's a known fact that that's not always the case.
Mm.
And he would have had to have had padding as well.
I don't think he did. I mean, it looks like he was just in some pretty nice clothes and had a suitcase with him.
It's surreal, and it is true, isn't it, Paul? It's a true story. So it's quite extraordinary. Yeah. But imagine all those terrible similar, because people, stowaways, it's been happening for hundreds of years.
Mm.
And there have been cases of people that have hidden in the wheel arch of planes, which there is no oxygen, And when the, as the plane takes off, so you've in essence got to run out onto the, you know, the runway. You've got to sort of climb up into that, that sort of very complex and huge sort of hydraulic mechanism. You've obviously got to be above the tires because they're spinning, and then you go hurtling down the runway. You're basically looking down, but then at a certain point, once the aircraft leaves the ground, it raises the wheel carriage, and the entire system gets sort of mechanically sort of taken up into the fuselage. And
wouldn't you get crushed?
Well, so you've never done this before. You haven't been able to probably study a YouTube video on how to successfully, you know, stow away on a massive plane. So you're thinking on the run in an incredibly stressful situation, traveling at an unbelievable speed, taking off at about probably 30 degrees, which is scary in itself, and you're trying to avoid being crushed. If you do survive that, once you get to around about, well, above 20,000 feet, bearing in mind that the plane's probably going to be flying close to 40,000 feet, you are going to have no oxygen or very, very, very little oxygen. And have you ever looked at the temperature when you're inside the plane, the outside temperature?
No.
It's normally around about minus 50 degrees Celsius. You can't possibly survive.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I have a story from the BBC, 2nd of July 2019. This is a absolutely bananas story. You ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A suspected stowaway who is believed to have fallen from the landing gear of a flight into Heathrow Airport has been found dead in a London garden.
Mm.
The body, believed to be that of a man, was found in Offerton Road, Clapham, just before 1540 BST on Sunday. Police said it was thought the individual fell from a Kenya Airways flight from Nairobi. A neighbour said the body fell a metre away from a resident who had been sunbathing in the garden.
God.
The man, who did not want to be named, said he heard a womp, so he looked out of an upstairs window and saw the body and blood all over the walls of the garden.
God.
Now, I'm looking at a map here. It's got the flight path of the plane. It's got Heathrow, heads across Greater London, body found in Clapham. Okay, yeah, this is crazy. Mm. The neighbour who asked not to be named said a plane spotter who had been following the flight on a plane tracking app from Clapham Common had seen the body fall.
Mm.
The plane spotter had arrived almost at the same time as the police and told them the body had fallen from a Kenyan Airways flight. If it had been there 2 seconds later, he would have landed on the common where there were hundreds of people. My kids were in the garden 15 minutes before he fell. I spoke to Heathrow. They said this happens once every 5 years.
Mm.
Describing the victim, he said one of the reasons his body was so intact was because the body was an ice block. There you go.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Offerton Road in Clapham on a bright summer's day is a tranquil and leafy corner of southwest London. Other than journalists arriving, there is little activity, but many people presumably out at work. But every 30 seconds or so, the quiet is punctured by the din of jet engines travelling overhead, indicating the road's position directly underneath a major highway for aircraft heading for Heathrow from across the globe. Kenya Airways said the aircraft was inspected and no damage was reported. A bag, water, and some food were found in the landing gear compartment on the aircraft when it landed.
God. That's incredible. And yes, I actually am aware of that particular story, Paul, and I was going to sort of try and you know, allude to that. But it's just extraordinary. And as we've touched on before, you know, human desperation can make people do the most extraordinary things. And sometimes they succeed. And other times, I mean, all those people in Afghanistan last year,
yeah,
on the runway. I mean, what? It's just, it's like a sort of a zombie sort of film where people just are desperate, and yeah, it's extraordinary.
I mean, Dad, I'm looking here. This happens quite regularly, and as a spokesman for Kenya Airways said, the 6,840-kilometer flight takes 8 hours and 50 minutes. In June 2015, one man was found dead on the roof of notonthehighstreet.com's headquarters in Richmond, West London, while another was found in critical condition after they both clung onto a British Airways flight from Johannesburg. In August 2012, a man's body was found in the undercarriage bay of a plane at Heathrow after a flight from Cape Town. Right, so they try and stow away, freeze to death, and then, as in this case, I mean, the body falls on the... I mean, you wouldn't want to live under the flight path already, but imagine the prospect of a body falling out of a plane. Oh, my God.
I mean, you know, flying in a plane in a seat,
yeah,
getting refreshments and being able to go to the toilet is sometimes a torturous affair.
Mm-hmm.
Spare a thought for someone underneath. And, you know, on the balance of probability, dead and frozen. Like, yeah, a big ice block just spears down.
Dad, I actually did some calculating, and if you were trapped in the box that we were talking about before, that young man was in, trying to get back to Wales, if you were trapped in there for the amount of time he was trapped in there, you could have made your fried rice 40 times.
40.
Now, if it didn't take so long to make, you could make more of it. But there you go. 40
but,
times.
But a lot of love went into my fried rice, Paul.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I need to really focus. I went to bed last night going through my mind what had actually made this fried rice better than any fried rice I'd ever made. By a country mile, might I say. You do a food podcast. I thought you'd be slightly more excited about my story.
No, I don't think there's a world in which it takes 3 hours to make. Is it possible you're overinflating the amount of time it took?
No.
Like, 3 hours.
Well,
hang on, including shopping for the ingredients in that?
Well, it was light when I started and it was dark when I finished.
Okay, but that could
well
literally
and truly.
Be...
I know, yeah, what you're saying. You're saying I could have started on the cusp of the sun going down.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case.
I don't think it took 3 hours.
Paul, that's not very nice of you to say that, Paul.
No, I'm actually trying to give you the benefit of the doubt and say that I don't know why you feel the need to say it took 3 hours when it clearly couldn't have taken 3 hours.
Ah, Paul.
It could, Dad, no, Dad, it couldn't. Unless you stopped for 40 minutes between each step, it couldn't have taken 3 hours to make fried rice.
Well, it was more than 2 hours.
Oh, I don't think it was. I think it may have been maybe an hour 20.
No, not a chance, but Paul, it was... Paul, it's an incredibly involved process.
I'm not saying it's not, but I'm saying...
Oh, and can I just say at this juncture to you and the listeners that I have some special techniques that I use when I'm cooking.
Right. And those they're clearly very time efficient. But
Paul,
please...
the techniques that I use,
one
of them is that I crank up the heat, but then I remove the pan,
right,
and I put it to the side. And I do that for a long time. It's a repetitive process.
Yeah.
Okay? So there are these...
I like the idea that, Dad, you've taught yourself to cook, but if you were sat there in a cooking class with an expert chef, you go, you know, talking about, and you just walk out because you would think you know best. I'd like to see you in a contest environment, like a master chef. Let's say it's the fried rice week for some reason, and they've given you 30 minutes because that's how long it takes to make fried rice. No,
mate,
listen,
it's
Dad,
not possible to do my particular special dish in 30 minutes. Okay, the omelet process.
Yeah,
is, let me think about this. Even if you take out the fact that it took me, probably I'd spend at least 10 minutes trying to get those stupid white things off the yolks. Okay? And one of them dropped on the floor. They looked like, ugh, so terrible. Ugh, I can't even think about it.
Let me just read you this, Dad. Here we go. Okay. So, you've got your rice, yeah? And this is from BBC Good Food. Heat 2 tablespoons of oil in a large wok over high heat, then add the onion and fry until lightly browned, around 5 minutes. Okay, so that's 5 minutes. Maybe another few minutes for cutting the onion. Add the rice, which as you pointed out is already cooked. Stir and toast for about 3 minutes, then move to the side of the pan. Add the remaining oil, then tip in beaten egg. Leave to cook a little, then mix in with the rice. Stir vigorously to coat the grains, or if you prefer the egg chunkier, allow to set for a little longer before breaking up and stirring through. Tip into a serving bowl and scatter over the spring onion to serve. You can add sesame oil, ground white pepper, and a splash of soy sauce to season. Now, granted, this doesn't look like the best
boring.
Fried rice.
How boring. Do you know
what? I'm not saying that's in any way approximating the flavor of your fried rice.
Paul, mate.
Time-wise, you see what I'm saying?
No, I don't, because, Paul, one of the signature ingredients that I use, are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
The finest smoked bacon.
What I want to hear from you listeners is, do you think 3 hours is a realistic amount of time to cook fried rice, or has Dad slightly overdone it? Let us know at facebook.com/looseunits. Anyway, this is a true crime podcast, but so fear not, we will be back on Tuesday morning with another look at the courthouse. I mean, Dad, really, we couldn't have done a less true crimey episode of the show if we tried.
And it's bloody great because, Paul and listeners, I'm going to talk about something fairly fascinating on the final episode of the Family Law Court bombings.
Yep.
Next week. And I reached out to the writer, director, producer of that show on the ABC.
Yeah.
And I sent her an email.
Yep.
With some interesting information that I, you know, without saying too much. And she called me within 15 minutes.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Hang on. Are you serious?
100%. She called me. And we'll discuss that next week.
Oh, my God. Okay, yeah, this is a big deal. All right.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah.
Amazing. Well, that's something of a bombshell. So make sure you tune in next week for more Loose Units. In the meantime, have a great week, everyone, and we'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.